the people that are in it. Katie Pettigo is with us. She's the executive director of New Friends, New Life, one of the organizations that is standing up, bringing attention to this before it happens. Katie, good morning to you, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
We know that the Super Bowl encourages, just because of its very nature, it encourages, not on purpose, but just the happening of the Super Bowl, encourages hedonism to an extent that is almost Roman in its completeness. Children and teenagers get caught in that. We see time and time again that happens. We saw in Miami last year, law enforcement reported an extraordinary number of kids, teenage prostitutes wrapped up. I guess the question is, first, where do you start?
Well, and you are so right about saying that we are, you know, we're excited to have the Super Bowl in North Texas. We know the positive impact that it will have to our community, and we are looking forward to having it here. We do know exactly because of what you said, whether it was in Miami or Tampa or Phoenix, we know when you have major sporting events, there is going to be a large amount of sex trafficking and sex exploitation that's going to happen. So whether it's in Arlington or whether it's in another city across the nation, it's going to happen. And we just need to raise awareness, and we need to resolve as a culture that we're not going to allow this to happen to young girls and women. It's just time to step up and say, you know what, we are going to value women, we're going to value children, young girls, and we're not going to buy it. We're just not going to let it happen in our community.
I'd like to have you talk to the audience about about the young women that you see in the aftermath of this, and talk about what New Friends, New Life does, I guess, first, and then describe the young ladies that come into your orbit.
Well, the mission of New Friends, New Life is to help women leave the degradation of the sex industry, and we do that in a couple of ways. One is by providing free counseling to them, and then second, by providing education, helping them get their GED or further education, and then helping them get conventional employment, whether it be through internships or employment. So we look at our role as taking someone who would like out of the industry and say, for the first time in your life, we're going to give you a choice, and that is to get out of this degradation, to get out of this exploitation. And we realize that you have been through a tremendous amount of trauma and abuse in your childhood and in your teens, and we're going to start day one with providing you some counseling and meeting your emotional and mental needs. And then from there, we sit down and work with life coaches and budget counselors and others that will help them build a bridge to self-sufficiency, because that's our ultimate goal with the women, is to help them do that. But what we found is that is an average of a 2-year process. Mm. And so it's not a quick fix, just get in, help them for a little bit with their rent, and that's it. What we have to do is go back to when the abuse started, when the trauma started, and really work through a process of helping this woman and her children reach self-sufficiency and reach healing. What we know about this woman is that 90% of the women in the sex industry, these are from national statistics, report that they want out. This is not something that they enjoy, that they want to do, that they have grown up, you know, thinking is what they want to do with their life. 90% were abused themselves as children. Mm. So it started at a very early age for them, where they thought that this is what their bodies do.
Well, they get as you know, Katie, you're in this capacity to help them. You know, we spend an extraordinary amount of time and energy convincing 8 and 9 and 12-year-old girls that their body is all that's interesting about them, and I find that with a 13-year-old daughter myself, who has a stable, loving home and two normal parents in her home, she gets the right messages of, listen, your brain is important. She gets a dad that takes her to TCU, to the meteorite gallery, and says, there's more to you than your cuteness or your body or anything like that. But there are obviously generations of young ladies that not only do not get that message, but have it dealt to them in a way that most of the world finds vile and reprehensible, and so do they.
You know, you're exactly right. And what it is, when people say, well, who's to blame? Who's to blame for this problem? I go back and say, you know what? We as a culture have glamorized this. We have allowed popular culture to glorify and glamorize a pimp culture, commercializing the sex industry. And so it is time for us as a culture to say, you know what? What's happened is the victims of this have become 12, 13, 14-year-old girls who are the most vulnerable in our society, and they are the prey for this kind of exploitation. And so we know on a national average, the average age of entry into sex trafficking is 13 years old. Hmm. That's the average age. So you're talking about 12, 13, 14-year-old girls that are the victims. So it's not a victimless crime. And what it produces
in
women is, 85% report that they have severe depression. 68% say they have post-traumatic stress to the same level as a war veteran. 64% are suicidal. I mean, it's 84% were one-time homeless in their lives. It's not something that is a glamorous or choice that these women make. It is really a way to be exploited.
I've seen this, like you have, Katie, for a long time. Katie Pettigo is with us. She's the executive director of New Friends and New Life. It's one of the groups that's standing up to help combat the sex trafficking that's going to take place in advance of the Super Bowl coming up on February the 6th. You know, there's the occasional story of, I'm a prostitute, I make good money, I raise my child, da-da-da-da-da. That's one out of, 10,000, I have to believe. I have to also believe that most women would walk away from it if they could. When you, when women or young ladies or girls, as we know, can break away from this, Katie, what is next for them? You know, what do they do? We have a lot of people in this audience who are very kind and decent and humane people who want to help and do help us with various projects. You know, for somebody listening right now that says, listen, I can't do a lot, but I can do something. What would that be? And how can they directly help these girls getting away from this kind of a sex trade?
Well, number one, we just ask the public to start to understand the issue, and exactly what you said, to stop seeing these young girls and these women as the perpetrators and as the criminals, and to start seeing them as the victims that they are. And so we believe if you understand, you begin to care. And when you begin to care, you resolve to do something about it. So the next step is we ask those who care about these young girls and these women to resolve to do something about it, whether it's get involved and volunteer with a group like New Friends, New Life and support our cause, or to go out and provide awareness and protection. But get involved, engage in this issue. You know, get involved with one of the organizations that are raising awareness, that are helping provide the aftercare for the victims. Just don't hear the message and walk away. Hear the message and do something about it.
Katie, I would ask you, and I hope that you'll stay in touch with us as we head towards this. You know, we have a lot of friends. The Attorney General in Texas here, Greg Abbott, is going to be with us tomorrow. He's got a task force that he has commissioned to help work with folks like you and a number of other people to get our arms around this, because we've got, at this point, a month and 2 days before the game itself, and I'm sure you guys are going to be busy. So stay in touch with us. Let us know what you can do, what we can do to continue to stay involved with you. I told us just very briefly a story a few minutes ago. My daughter was home from school yesterday, and I asked her in the afternoon. I said, hey, come help me in the kitchen for a minute, because I was busy, was working and getting dinner ready too. And she spent about 20 minutes with a couple of wild hog tenderloins that I was getting ready to overnight for tonight's dinner. And she fixed them for me. She plugged them with garlic and spices and herbs and some different things like that. And when she left, I said to her, I said, hey, thanks for your help. And I gave her a hug. She's a little bitty thing, and I'm a big giant guy. And she looked up at me, and it made, because I knew we were going to be talking about this today. I looked at her and I thought to myself, not only can I not conceive of mistreating a child like that, but who speaks for the ones to whom it happens? And there are so many of them. The numbers, as you note, are offensive, and they ought to be people ought to be terrified to come in here as sex traffickers in the United States of America. I mean, it's not like, as we have learned over the years, this is not some seedy back alley in Bangkok. This is the United States of America. It's Dallas, Fort Worth, and Arlington, Texas. We need not allow this. We should not allow this. The moral outrage that should accompany this should be overwhelming. So help us continue to build awareness, and we sure appreciate your heart and your work for this. It's obviously tough, and we're grateful to you for doing it.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, your providing awareness to this is critical, and I can't agree more. You know, in the land of the free, we should not allow our young girls and women to be sex slaves.
No.
And that's just not – we should stand up as a culture and say – We're not going to let it happen.
Yeah, well said. Katie, thank you. We'll look forward to speaking with you again. And we'll get